Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us on the line today is Mrs. Dikeledi Makhadzi, who is a Member of Parliament and Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport and Member of the ANC National Executive Committee. Some of her previous positions include being MEC for the Department of Safety and Security Liaison, Agriculture, Health and Social Development, as well as Public Works, where she played a major role in leading the integration and transformation of three former homelands. She has also been a member of the Federation of South African Women Executive and a member of the ANC Women's League. Welcome to the show, Mrs. Makhadzi.
Thank you very much, Dr. and to your viewers at home.
Mrs. Makhadzi, can you please share with us some of the responsibilities that come with chairing the Portfolio Committee on Transport?
The Portfolio Committee on Transport has got several business units, which oversees all those business strategic business units. At the same time, the Portfolio Committee has got state-owned entities which actually account to the Department of Transport. We do oversight over aviation, over maritime. We do oversight on railroad administration, public transport, and integrated public transport planning. So the critical responsibility, I would say, is to do oversight over all these things that I have spoken to. And when you look at the state-owned entities within the Department of Transport, there is 13 state-owned entities and three subsidiaries which are resident in PRASA. The critical thing is when we start with Parliament, there is the medium-term strategic framework, which is a plan for the 5 years, which actually will be categorized into annual strategic plans and annual performance plans, that on a quarterly basis, you are doing reviews to check as to whether the department has tempted itself to do these things together with the entities. Have they been able to do those type of things? So these are the things that we are able to look at. We're also doing oversight over the budget, where we analyze the budget if it will be able to satisfy the service delivery requirements and needs of the communities in the Republic. We do a review of this budget. We recommend to the department to say, having looked at the civil aviation or having looked at AXA for argument's sake, these are the things that we believe we can be able to do so that these eight-owned entities can be able to execute the mandate as per requirement. And at the same time, we take these reviews, the budget reviews, to Parliament for ratification for the minister to can be able to implement. But what is very, very critical is that the bills will be coming from the department. We also do a responsibility which is very critical is that of legislation and legislating. You look into the bills which actually are Section 76 and Section 75 as per the Constitution, which actually some will also have to go to provinces, some are executed at national level. We also make sure that we ratify international conventions. In the past year, we have already ratified 4 international conventions, which actually, before you even take them to Parliament for them to be passed, we should be able to check with other departments as to what will be their role. If at all we've got a maritime convention bill which must be passed by Parliament, will it? How positively will it impact on the South African National Defence Force, which is also found in the waters, in the seas, environmental affairs? What will be the impact? Do they have the budget? If there's going to be monetary requirements. So we also do policy review of the department. So in a nutshell, I can say that these are some of the things that one from time to time will be engaged in.
Thank you for sharing the oversight that the that the portfolio looks after. So in effect, it's our state-owned entities. It's ensuring that we have sufficient budget to fulfill the demands of the objectives and legislative criteria. Mrs. Mokgatsi, I hadn't quite realized how extensive the portfolio was, with the inclusion of aviation, maritime, rail and road, as well as the public sectors.
It's very massive a portfolio, actually, when you look at the whole situation of how critical issues are. And remember, the African National Congress before 1994 had developed a strategic plan kind of through the Reconstruction and Development Plan, which actually, amongst other things, it says public transport or transport in the Republic should be reliable, it should be affordable, it should be safe. And it must be a part of the things that must be done intensely is to make sure that accessibility to the rural areas is one of the key things that must be executed. So these are some of the things that from time to time you'll always be reminding the department, how far have you gone in terms of road investment in the road in the rural areas? Is there public transport that goes to the rural areas, which actually is subsidized or funded by government? So these are the critical things that from time to time one is always engaged in.
And obviously that's an ongoing challenge that we still need to improve on.
Yes, massively. So there are serious challenges when we talk to access by the rural areas.
Mrs. Mokgatsi, Womanity, Women in Unity is a gender-based program, and with all of our aspects, we look at profiling elements within industries on how we're achieving from a woman's point of view. The transport sector is essentially a male-dominated environment, and according to Statistics South Africa, in one of their reports that they did, I think it was halfway through 2014, the data indicated that women only make up 18% of the transport sector's 950,000 employees. Is enough being done to encourage women to pursue careers in the transport sector?
I think one of the things that I strongly believe in is to make sure that women must be encouraged that when they take subjects, they are able to take the subject at basic education level, which will be able to make sure that they are able to feed. But the other thing which to me I see as a drawback is that many of us as women, we look at certain portfolios and professions as these belong to men, and we easily run into our cocoons to make sure that we are able to do easy professions which actually can make you to look like a woman. But if we have women who go and train in aviation, we have a lot of women who are training in maritime, we have a lot of women who are engineers. These are some of the things that we believe we can be able to really say in the long run, we as women have been able to transform the thinking of our communities and the thinking of women, not to undermine yourself as such that this doesn't, this I can't do, this I can do, or I should be able to do feminine professions and do feminine jobs. So to me, the mindset in all this equation is one of the things that we should be able to look at if we can be able to really refocus ourselves so that we're able to be at par with our male counterparts.
And I understand that one of the processes and intervention that the department has undertaken is the development of a concept called the South African Network for Women in Transport, which is about breaking existing barriers for entry into the sector and to help demystify some of the existing beliefs. Can you tell us a little bit more about the South African Network for Women in Transport and how women can get more involved in it?
The concept of South African Women in Transport was to make sure that women are mentored, women will have networking unit where we can be able to share ideas, share experiences, be able to develop as women in the business which is transport related, be able to know how government can be able to assist you for you to can get access into business which is transport related, advise women legally, advise women businesses financially, so that they can also be able to know if I'm going to do, if Sandra gives me a tender for me to execute the roads. How do I go about it? What are the things that I needed there? Technical experience also at the same time. But my key thing is we need to demystify some of these myths that women will be having. And I always like saying, people have got dreams, but many of us, we have these dreams until they are turning into nightmares, and we shy away because now it's a nightmare, it's scary and all those things. We shy away and we become conformists in how we're doing our things. And we because somebody has got a hair salon, I will also do a hair salon. Whereas if you travel the road less traversed, you are able to be that person who actually is able to explore the avenues that have not been explored. But make sure that as a woman, you have practical ideas that can be able to be easily implementable.
And do you think that part of that comes through from more education, attending forums?
Yeah. That is very, very important. That, you know, in our indigenous language, we always say that you never grow old to be educated. Learning is a lifelong thing. That, to me, are some of the things that every time when we are with women, we should also be able to encourage them. Capacitate yourself in this area or in that area. Make sure that you get educated, because much as you can be in construction, there's a plethora and a variety of things that in construction are happening. And that, to me, is a very important arena within which women can be able to work themselves up the ladder.
And in terms of the South African Network of Women in Transport, how can women become more involved in it? Who do they speak to? Who do they connect with?
The minister has put it clearly when there was a summit of women in Birchwood that what becomes very important is for business to work closer to government, for them to be able to know, because the minister has even set herself a target of a particular percentage to say so much percentage of jobs that are in government, positions that need certain things in government, if there's going to be employment, so much this is what should be able to go to women. But do we have what it takes to be able to occupy those portfolios? You know, in the Department of Transport, almost all the DDGs, Deputy Directors General, are male. And these are some of the things that we always say to the minister, that in your senior management, in the executive management, there's something like 2-3 women. When you look at the state-owned enterprises, there is only one CEO in the state-owned enterprises. The rest are male. So these are the things that, as we do oversight, we always conscientize ministers around to say, make sure, and even make sure that you are able to live up to employment equity act, because when you don't do that, it means you are violating the act as prescribed. But at the same time, even when you look at SAMWID and other opportunities that goes to women, many are times we are challenged by the fact that we don't have the requisite skills.
And again, that goes back to our conversation about education.
Yes.
You're listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. And today we're talking to Mrs. Dikeledi Magatse, who is a Member of Parliament and Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band. Also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to Mrs. Dikeledi Magatse, Member of Parliament and Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, Mrs. Mukhadzi highlighted the various aspects from an oversight point of view that the Portfolio Committee on Transport is responsible on state-owned entities, budgeting, legislation. She also spoke about the South African Network for Women in Transport and the need for women to become more involved, to improve their education elements, to stop self-stereotyping and to seek out mentorship. Mrs. Mukhadzi, late last year, I came across a study which was done by McKinsey and Lean In, and it was a report on women in the workplace in corporate America. And although we're obviously from a South African context, I still think it raises a relevant aspect. And they spoke about an issue of likability bias, where they say that success and likability are positively correlated for men, but negatively correlated for women. So in other words, if a woman is competent, she doesn't seem nice enough, but if she seems nice, then she's not considered competent. And this bias often surfaces in the way that women are described. But on the other hand, when a woman asserts herself, she's often called aggressive and ambitious. But yet, when a man does the same thing, he is perceived as being confident and strong. And as a result of this double standard, women face penalties in the workplace, like missing out on hiring or advancement opportunities and salary increases. What is your opinion of this subject?
I think on this subject, it's a very loaded subject. Well, amongst other things that one has made as an observation as in the variety of portfolios that I have been in. When indeed, when you assert yourself, you attempt to be arrogant. But it is because maybe cultural things, I would say, which I'm not too sure as to what are the cultural things which will make you to be kind of submissive, because in some cultures, women are expected to be submissive and be able to do things in a manner which actually can put you, sometimes you even lose your objectivity, because the minute you start to be objective, you start to be outward, you attempt to be arrogant. But the other thing is, sometimes we lose our confidence in the things that we are supposed to say. This is the subject that I have really mastered, and I can be able to go out and fly like a butterfly so that you are able to show people. Indeed, many women, when they are doing very well, they end up sometimes being isolated, and you want to be part of the community, part of the society, part of the other women, but they will always be classifying you in a particular category. Is the man wearing dress, those type of things, those are the insinuations which are there. And I think these are some of the things that pulls a lot of women down, because they really don't seem to have that confidence of saying, okay, this is a talk, but as long as I want this, I should be able to make sure that I become a go-getter. I always say that if I succeed, everybody around me has made me to succeed. But if I fail, the method that I use which has failed me, I should be able to change and be able to look for other methods that can be able to take me to a higher trajectory.
And how do you think we can overcome issues like that?
Earlier on, I spoke about networking. And I always like to say, amongst other things that I do at most, is to look at the good things that other women or other people are doing. And I say, I must copy this thing so that I can be able to succeed. I don't need to rewind the wheel in certain things that has been done by other people. I just need to go to that person, have the confidence of saying, doctor, these are the things that I have seen you succeeding in. How did you do it? And then you don't even need to go and start afresh, because sometimes some of us are shy to ask questions because you say that they say that this is a stupid question. If I'm going to ask, they will think I'm stupid and stuff like that. It doesn't matter. If it's a stupid question, ask it. You get a clever answer in that stupid question that you have asked.
I think that's really important, that it is about the confidence of the self, that people go out and actively try and seek to do better themselves, as opposed to putting other people down because they don't have those skills. Mrs. Makhatsi, you've been a member of several portfolio committees and involved in government for a long time now. Taking into consideration the challenges and successes that women's legal rights have had over the last few years, what areas do you consider that still need more attention with respect for women?
I think what is needed is for women to support one another. That is, for me, the most crucial thing, that if we are able to support one another, if we are able to be a united and formidable force, we can be able to overcome some of the critical things. But like I spoke earlier on to say, there are stereotypes that you always want to be a conformist. There are certain things that sometimes other people will say to you, but this culturally is not allowed. I remember in the 80s when one was in a an activist, serious community activist, I went to a meeting in the traditional leader's house. And when I arrived there, women were seated on the ground and the men were seated on the chairs. And I went to go and sit there by the chairs. It was a woman who came to me and said, "You are not supposed to be seated there. You must come and sit with us there on the ground." I said, "No, I can sit anywhere where I like." But these are some of the things that we pull ourselves to say, because the law says this, we can't change the laws. Laws are made by people, and it's people who should be able to change those laws. And you are able to live according to how you believe you should be able to live. And to me, I would say that probably even attributes and attitudes are the things that you should be able to look at as and when you are given a particular responsibility. One thing that I always copy from the ANC is, you are a servant of the people, and therefore when you are sent to go and execute, don't look at yourself as this leader who must be served, but you must make sure that you are this leader who must serve your people, because you are there in that portfolio for you to serve your people.
And one of the points that you've raised here, which is no secret, that we come from an inherently patriarchal society where culture has a strong role to play. And it's as much an issue for women as it is for men to overcome those points. Mrs. Makhatsi, can you share with us some of the gender challenges that you've experienced and overcome during your career?
Let me say one critical thing is, as a woman, you need to work 5 times or 10 times more for you to be recognized that you've got the capabilities as compared to your male counterpart. When I started as a politician, where you don't have a lot of time or on-duty time, I had 2 little boys, which actually they were still small. And people will always be asking me, how can you do this type of a job where you leave your children alone and stuff like that? And when I say to them, my husband is always complimenting and assisting me in this thing, they're like, "Wow, what's wrong with your husband?" But family support is a very critical thing, which actually... I saw as one of the challenges, that if you don't have family support, you always fall by the wayside. But confidence and confidence in yourself and believing in yourself are some of the things that I would say have been able to make me to be able to go higher. But as for the support, very little you get from your peer. I used to say to my friends that, you know, when you go higher up, it is cold up there. When we are with you here, you're always feeling the warmth. And my mother used to say, people are like oil. Surround yourself with these people so that you can be shiny and be oiled. So to me, those are the things that I have seen helping me. But as for the challenges, there is massive challenges that women come across on their day-to-day execution of their tasks. It ranges from people not trusting that you can or you shall be able to execute that portfolio that you're dealing with, When I was in public works, men will come and say, but you're not an engineer. How are you going to deal with this thing? And one of the things that I will always deal with is, I'm not an engineer. I'm a policymaker. I'm a lawmaker. And I'm going to deal with this thing within that confines of being a policymaker, being a lawmaker, that I will succeed. Definitely, I'm not experienced in any technical matters that has to do with built environment, electrical, civil and stuff like that, but I've got policies which will make you as professionals to be able to do that. So these are the challenges that people will think that when you are a politician, you must be technically skilled or have a profession that is aligned to or inclined to that. When I went into the police safety, security and liaison, it was the same thing. You are not a lawyer, you've never been a police. These are the challenges which people believe that you cannot be able to execute this portfolio because you don't have what it takes. And voila, within my 3 years being in that that department, we got an award, a United Nations award of taking the services to the people because I developed a concept of the police. We must change the vans of the police to go to the communities, go and certify documents, go and do crime prevention programs, do everything. If it means having a small cell where when there is a law breakers on the ground, you should be able to arrest them and keep them in that van. And I can tell you that now today at Highside, you look at most of the department, they have copied that model of outreach towards the communities with the necessary required things that the communities must use. So those are the things that when you come up with this concept, people will say, no, it's not going to work. And they will keep on criticizing you. But if you don't have that self-confidence, your dream will become a nightmare.
But there's always resistance to change because people have become so indoctrinated into the way that they think, they become complacent, that this is the way things have always been done. And when someone comes in from the outside and has a new perspective, I think that you're able to see more of a bigger picture and to be more strategic in your approach, as you've clearly indicated with your successes. Today, we're talking to Mrs. Dikeledi Magatsi, Member of Parliament and Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro-Soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amelia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to Mrs. Dikeledi Magatsi, Member of Parliament and Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, Mrs. Magatsi gave through some very pertinent advice in terms of skills and attributes women should try to adopt, from being more confident, from not conforming to the typical norms, and to go out and achieve your dreams, to not be afraid of asking those questions, to seek out mentorship, for women to be more supportive of each other, and to stop stereotyping. Mrs. Magatsi, we're now coming into the last segment of our show. One of the questions that I ask my guests on this program who've made significant achievements in their respective fields is about the factors that contribute to their success. Some speak about hard work, others talk about perseverance. In your opinion, what have been some of the key drivers of your success?
I would say that I attribute my success to, I like people who are doing good, who are excelling. I always like to identify myself with them. I always say I don't identify or come closer to mediocrity because it makes me lose. Surround myself with achievers That's what makes me successful. But hard work, I would always like to talk about this great woman who gave birth to me, who will always be saying, I have never seen a grave where they are saying, here lies a woman who was working hard, but I have seen a grave of a woman who was lazy, because if you are lazy, you will die of hunger. But when you work very hard, you will always be will have what you want, you'll have the wealth that you need. And to me, those I believe in. But indeed, like all the other women, I'll say perseverance is the mother of success. If you would want to do the other things in life and become very successful, you persevere, you are very patient in everything, but all the time whenever you do those things, I would say that most of the time when I do that, I say I succeed because there is my maker who has always been next to me, that is God. I succeed because there are people who surround me with love and everything. When I share my ideas with them, they will always share these ideas so that they can be able to be the ideas that you are able to reach and execute in a proper manner. I'm that's what my children call me. I'm an extrovert who actually, 1 minute or the minute I get to know you, I will start talking to you. And in that, at the end, I say, every time I meet a person, I become more knowledgeable in me interacting with that particular person because he or she enriches my life in this regard.
And can you tell us, share with us some of the pivotal moments in your life when you were growing up, on what influenced you the most in those years?
Can you repeat the question again?
Can you tell us some of the pivotal moments in your life when you were growing up? What would you say had the biggest impact to make you the person you are today?
I would say the very pivotal moments in my life which has made me to be who I am. I've always looking up to the people who have, who can do certain things which can I look at and say, wow. The wow moments have always to me been this thing which actually want to make me to be. But ever since I've always said to myself, my slogan as I grew up, I said, every day I look at myself in the mirror and say, God, thank you, I feel good. When I'm dressing up, I always say, I look good. And when I go out to go and execute whatever, I say, I must go and do good. And at the end, my slogan is, feel good, look good, and do good. Those are the things that people will always remember you with. But at the same time, now I always say that make sure that you reach out and touch, because you don't know who you didn't touch, who actually could have made you something better in life or made you to be this extraordinary woman. So to me, my parents have always been very disciplinarian, both of them. The community that I grow up in, a community where you always say, your child is my child. And I think these are the pivotal moments that every time I remember, I'll always be reminded that lady, that old granny, and so on and so on. And they make you to be. But even now, as I walk up in life in general, I look at the very people who I believe have succeeded and would want to say, they succeeded, why can't I reach those high moments in life? But my organization, the African National Congress, is the one that actually I always refer to some of the things that you get in the ANC. Humbleness, humility, dedication, respect are the things that to me are so pivotal in my life.
And now, Mrs. Mokgatsi, you briefly spoke about the importance of reaching out and touching. In closing the discussion today, can you please share with us a few words of inspiration that you would like to pass on to women in Africa who are listening to us today?
To me, my sisters in Africa who are listening to us today, I would say it is very, very good that as women, you reach out and touch, whether it's by talk, whether it's by action. When you talk, sometimes people say your talk will be remembered for a short while, but there are those words that when you shared with the other people, they will always remain with those people. And when you reach out in action, action speaks more louder than words. And I would say to women, we know how Africa is like. We know how South Africa and our communities are like. We should be able to go out there on a daily basis. When you go out, say, I'm going out, I'm going to make a difference in somebody's life, which actually one of the days that person will come and say to you, you made me, I am because you were. Those to me are the critical things that I would say. I am now because there were other people who have been shaping me to be where I am now.
Thank you very much for sharing that important message of the enablers that we have in our life. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mrs. Mokgatsi. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Doctor. It's also been a pleasure to be interviewed by you.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, and we have been talking to Mrs. Dikeledi Mokgatsi, Member of Parliament and Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport.